Hey, Dave. What you working on?
I just had some free time and figured I'd get an early start setting up the bleachers for Hot Dave's Summer Film Festival. This year's going to be the hottest it's ever been.
Hey, but Dave, you promised I could run my own film festival this year.
Yes, I did, Ryan. Maybe if you would put down Chad will snap every once in a while and check the schedule, you'd know I left all the winter open for your festival. It's March. Winter is over.
Yeah, the yellow snow is just about all melted away.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
What the hell is that?
Oh, this is just the Wasteland Zone season predicting groundhog, Funksatoni Todd. But I really think he's just a cat that fell into some radioactive Coke Zero starlight.
Funksatoni Todd?
Jesus, Ryan, don't let that thing in here!
I didn't let him in here. Todd lives here under the store.
Oh, God. What's coming out of his mouth?
Shh. If he comes out of his hole and sees Navy SEALs is still checked out, then there's still 4 more weeks of Wasteland winter.
What? We're inside. How's he gonna see?
Hey guys, what's going on? Oh, is Todd doing the whole Groundhog Day thing?
Jackie, you know this monstrosity?
Oh yeah, Todd and I are buds. We run into each other sometimes in the vents. You know, there's a whole world behind these walls you guys should probably know about.
Shh! Don't scare him! He's coming out.
This is so stupid.
He did it! Todd saw Navy SEALs still checked out! And there he goes back into his hole under the store. You know what that means.
Oh no.
It's time for Stone Cold Ryan's Winter Film Fest Federation. A whole month of movies with prominent scenes and video stores. We got VHS tapes. We got 90s indie cinema. We got underappreciated women filmmakers. And a whole lot of Gen X people in their 30s having early midlife crises. AKA, hey, it's the 90s. This week, we got the 1996 independent film written and directed by Nicole Holofcener, the writer of The Last Duel. It's Walking and Talking, starring Catherine Keener, Anne Heche, and Todd Field, Lydia Tarr's father himself. Are you ready to walk and talk?
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
And welcome to Cold Ryan's Winter Film Fest Federation, a month of movies with prominent scenes in video stores, aka, hey, it's the 90s. I'm Ryan. I'm going to be your little guide here for this film fest for the next month. But, you know, as Dave might say, joining me as always is Dave.
Oh my God! He tore his mole right off! Todd Field is a madman!
Wow. What movie was that?
Yeah, who's this character?
That's a good character.
Well, you said this was a Cold Ryan's Winter Film Federation.
He's so cold.
So I assumed that we would have to bring that wrestling energy.
This is wrestler themed, I guess.
Okay,
God!
When you say Federation, my mind goes to Star Trek.
Star Trek.
I'm so sorry.
That could be a part of your character. That could be your character.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just a Starfleet personnel. Hey, I'm Jackie. I'm Starfleet personnel that ended up at the wrestling match.
and then as well as Jackie, we got Mike here too.
And in this corner, weighing in 15 pounds, the one, 15. The only, Big Jeans.
Oh, love Big Jeans? Big Jeans so much.
Oh, Big Jeans. Well, welcome, guys. This has been a long time coming. You know, it's late in the year for the winter fest, but we're keeping it cold before that summer comes around, you know?
Yeah.
Burr.
And this is all, these movies don't necessarily have anything to do with winter, but it was just a theme I wanted to do, and I thought it'd be funny.
This makes total sense.
Yeah.
You don't have to explain.
This is actually a great kind of like summertime film, honestly.
It is kind of summery. It looks kind of hot. It looks kind of hot, warm, and sticky.
Catherine Keener wears such great
They go into the lake and they say outfits. It's cold.
Yeah, but that's nighttime. It's like it might just be a colder.
And it was like Pennsylvania, night. Wasn't it? Or something. Yeah. I think they mentioned it's in Pennsylvania.
It's warm enough to swim during the day. Anyway. Yeah, it's winter. I also really,
I felt right at home because there was a lot of video store imagery in this movie, which I appreciated.
Well, that's the theme this month, Dave. You're going to be, this is what we're watching. Like, you know, we're in the video store, but, you know, it's video
Stuck
stores
in
are.
The video store. It's so cold out. There's mutant gophers roaming around.
It's just kind of a funny thing that there is a lot of movies set that had prominent scenes. And I think that my criteria for this fest was has to have maybe more than two scenes in a video store, I think was the thinking behind it.
See, that's why when I recommended the holiday, you shot me down. You're like, no, Dave, they're only in a video store in one scene. Doesn't work. I'm like, fine.
So
we got to adhere to these rules.
It's sort of the loose rules, but it's really just like, you know, I kind of get a kick out of it. And to be honest, we covered a movie that inspired me to originally watch this movie we're talking about, which is Nicole Holofcener's first movie. She wrote and directed Walking and Talking, but we watched it. We watched, remember we did the double feature of video store movies of documentaries. And this is kind of what inspired me to watch this movie was the scenes in that movie talking about this. And she's in that documentary talking about, you know, video stores in general. So she has so that was sort of the influence. And I watched this a while ago and I was like, it was like one of those things. Like, I didn't know this existed. And there's a lot of famous people in this movie. And there's like their first big movie, a lot of them. And then I was like, and it's funny. It's a movie watching a second time. I think it's funnier as it goes along. It's sort of really dry at first, but then it kind of gets funnier, I think. And then when you get to know the characters, I think. But I actually like this movie a lot. And I thought about, like, why didn't I know about this movie was my big question about this. And when someone, I feel like at the same time, you know, getting obsessed with, like, say someone like Kevin Smith, I can probably figure out maybe why I was gravitated to that and maybe didn't see this. There's probably some reasoning behind that, you know. Maybe culturally, maybe there's a reason.
Because you're a guy.
Exactly.
Because you're a gross boy.
I know.
Because you know why, Ryan? Because you don't listen to vagina music.
Well, now that's all I listen to. So I don't know.
Joke's on you.
Joke's on you. And so I don't know. So it's just one of those things where I was just like, oh, wow, I feel like I would have loved this movie if I had seen it. There's a lot of funny things in it, but it also is kind of not really. I guess like Clerks, for instance, they're not really, their age doesn't really matter, I feel like, in that movie. But this really feels like, you know, like I was comparing it a lot to Francis Ha. It's almost like, you know, you're 30 and your friends are moving on or there's big changes happening in lives. And so I think when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is great. I really feel film this, you know, and maybe I wouldn't appreciate it as a teenager.
It's harder to appreciate that as a teenager, as opposed to like, yeah, being at that age and being like, oh, yeah, no, this is just an eternal feeling, huh? Of becoming this age and feeling these things. And you're right. It's crazy how much this movie like doesn't exist, but also like is just so perfect.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I was saying, I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you guys think?
Well, I am always a fan of just like
big jeans.
Well, big jeans. Oh my god! I'll get to the cat, but just at the end of the day, I love a woman who's like kind of an asshole and like selfish and messy and you know has a perfect nose and smile and hair, and I'm in love with Catherine Keener.
She's pretty
number
good.
One with a bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I loved this. I am always into the kind of like, I wouldn't quite call this a romantic comedy.
No,
but it is like, romantic and comedic. So.
Yeah. And I think it has like, it's one of those sort of, it's vignette-y a little bit, but then also very indie, you know, like Sundance-y kind of movie. But I don't know. Like it's pretty early on. Like this is mid-90s, like 97, 90s, I think.
96, yeah.
96, yeah.
And I mean, you know, not to again, with the Clerks point of There's a lot of reasons why maybe one took off and the other does not exist. But I think, you know, gender is definitely a part of it where it's easier to, well, you know, broadly socially latch on to imperfect male characters rather than imperfect female characters.
Well, I feel like I feel weird saying this because I feel like this sentence has never been spoken before about Clerks. But yeah. Clerks, I can't believe I'm saying Clerks is the more showy film.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. It is. I mean, like, it is like definitely more stylized just like than this one.
It's got those like interstitials with like big words.
I think for like younger people too, that's more like attractive at first. Yeah.
The characters are bigger, you know?
Yeah.
The dialogue is like more stylized.
And I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, like I could see why someone would not like this movie because you kind of do have to be on board with the fact that like it follows some characters who are like, you know, messy and kind of annoying at times. Yeah. And like, but ultimately like you're in it or you're not. And if you're not into it, then you'd be like, why would I watch this? Like,
well, it's strange because Ryan, you mentioned that, this technically did sort of pop up on the show before, when we talked about, at the video store. I actually watched it after we did that episode.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Because I was curious. And at the time, I didn't hate the movie. I gave it 3 stars on Letterboxd. I think, to Jackie's point, I think it's a vibe kind of movie. You have to be in a certain set. Because I think the first time I watched it a couple years ago, like, it was hard to latch onto the characters because I'm just like, they're being like selfish or like, oh, she's being shitty to her or vice versa. And like, it wasn't, I don't know what it was. Maybe I was just in the wrong state of mind, but watching it the second time, I think you really nailed it. Like, this is a messy movie. And I think that's the point. Life is messy and relationships get messy and not just really the romantic ones. And I think it's a really relatable movie because I feel like, especially for someone in their 30s where like, you know, friends get like involved in relationships and move on. You don't talk as much anymore. So there's like a level, like there's that scene in the movie where Catherine Keener's just like, you just don't care about me anymore, man. You know what I mean? Like, and then Anne Heche, like, you know, justifiably, it's just like, oh, what? Because I'm married. I can't, you know, I have to call you 10 times a day, that kind of thing. It's just like, well, you know, it felt real to me.
It's almost like, this is what I wrote down. I said, like, I think it's like almost like making a big deal about things that aren't necessarily a big deal. Cause it's like, you're kind of like holding on to like these, you know, kind of teenager, kind of 20s type of life, you know, that's kind of leaving you. But I think this movie does a good job of not really like mentioning that. If that makes sense. It's almost like big things are going to start happening. But it's like, what's what I'm kind of trying to say? It's like for instance, I mean, skipping ahead, but our favorite guy, Big Jeans, unfortunately, kicks
rest
the bucket.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. In this movie,
was Big Jeans a boy or a girl? I don't remember.
It's a girl. Yeah.
Okay. Girl.
Rest so in our peace, favorite queen. Girl, Big Jeans, dies, and it's like it's an easy like it's almost like a precursor, like death. Like even though it's a cat, your friends are going to start eventually. Things are going to start happening. That's kind of I thought the second watching it. Yeah.
Well, on that note, that's something I really appreciate with the storyline with Andrew's dad with Alzheimer's and that like scene at the end at the park with his family. And he has that moment with his dad, who's like in a moment of clarity, like knows that he's ill and, you know, knows that he's not doing so great, but like, when you're a teen, when you're younger, it's harder to kind of conceptualize the thought of like your parents, your friend's parents getting sick and dying. And as you grow older, you're like, oh, wow, I'm crying tears right now. Like,
yeah, it's almost like it's using almost like these things that aren't very there are big things, you know, like important things like your animals or, you know, little your friends and such. But like, bigger things are going to start happening soon, you know, kind of thing. And I didn't really see that the first time. I just thought, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. And I'm curious why I didn't see this before. But now I was like, kind of like figuring out like maybe what the whole thing was about. And I kind of liked it a lot more second time too. Mike? You haven't really mentioned too much of
I liked your it. Thoughts. You liked yeah. It? I'm like listening to like, oh yeah, that's a good point with like the cat and the dad and stuff. Yeah, no, it was good. I could see this being like a good one on a rewatch because a lot of it is like the characters, and that does take like The first like 10 or 15 minutes of this movie is a little weird because it's like jumping back and forth so much.
The editing was driving me nuts.
It is weird. I agree. It's a weird beginning for sure. Takes like a minute to like get the your it's
the flow.
Yeah, I forget.
Yeah, it was. I mean, this is a much better movie than Valentine's Day, but it reminded me a bit of, of when we were watching that movie, where I was like, "Am I watching like 15 different movies like right now at once?"
It's almost like catching you up almost like real fast.
Yeah, it's got to gotta suss out who the characters are and their relationships like real quick to be like, okay, and that's the ex-boyfriend and okay, cool. Yeah.
It doesn't really like say it. It's not really exposition. It's just almost like this is this scene. There's this scene. Mm-hmm. There's this scene. They're not really like saying like we were in this relationship for this long time, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like it's like, it doesn't do that. So
yeah.
Very indie feeling, you know, but I think it's awesome to see like these actors in it. We got like, let me pull up the Chad IMDb.
It's,
I'm not used to seeing these people so young.
That was strange.
Michael was saying when we were first watching it, he was like, what do I know Catherine Keener from? And I was like, oh, this and this and this, you know, we're at like a milfier age. Yeah. And, because like, she's
like being John Malkovich and
the thing that like got me was the mom in Get Out. Yeah, I know I've seen something with her recently.
40-year-old virgin,
40-year-old virgin, also a MILF. But yeah, she is so hot in this movie. Like I said, I'm in love with Catherine Keener at any age, but I had never seen her this young before. And the nose, the hair, the everything. Her smile, her laugh.
Well, speaking of that, I wanted to throw up something for you guys and ask you something, because it's something I've been curious about since watching this, and I'm gonna ask like,
I would also fuck Todd Field. Yes.
Who is on this poster? Who is that? Who are those people? Can you look at that? Those are not the actors in this movie, right?
This looks to me like was something hell? That the like maybe the Weinsteins were just like, this has got to, you know, this looks like they're trying to sell a different movie.
They're I don't know, there's a brunette and a blonde and some man.
But that does not look like them, does it? Like that kind of looks like Leah Shriver.
They're making the video store guy look like he's like Sean from Boy Meets World.
Is that supposed to be?
That's not him.
That's supposed to be Leah Shriver, I think. That's what, at least what IMDb is saying. Oh, you have to pull up the poster, but I'm looking at this. I don't think that's even Anne Heche. Like, that looks like someone else.
No, this looks like if this is the actors, this is like some photo they took like a year afterwards or something.
or heavily like stylized or something. Like, it just looks like those. Like, they look like real. That's the one thing I really appreciated in this movie. They look like real people.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? You know. Obviously, like hot real people, but
we don't get a scene like we got in Valentine's Day where Anne Heche wakes up next to Todd Field and she's like got like she looks like she's decked out in makeup and she's glowing. Like, no, you know what I mean? It's like she just woke up, she's got bedhead.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's like Catherine Keener is like, you know, a mess, but she's also like still very hot, but in that realistically, like, you're not, waking up with full glam and curled hair.
I
love that we're like dunking on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, fuck that movie.
That poster was selling. I feel like that poster you just showed us, Ryan, was more trying to sell more of a Valentine's Day-esque movie.
This is a messy movie about messy people.
Like, I can just imagine Nicole Hollstetter's like reaction seeing that poster, like, oh, Jesus. That's not the movie I made.
Yeah. What do you think about, while we're talking about this, what do you think about the title of it?
It kind of means nothing, right? Yeah.
I kind of don't get it.
They do walk and talk a lot. Maybe that's the point of like, this is how you.
This isn't an Aaron Sorkin.
The way you.
Yeah.
It's Aaron Sorkin fucking wishes.
I agree.
Wishes.
It's almost like, I don't know. When did Before Sunrise come out? That was 95. So a little bit before this.
Around this time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if they were like, this is the thing. I don't know. Like, this is.
Walking and talking.
Was a big hit.
Maybe it's. I mean,
young people,
I don't know, maybe,
talking and walking.
Maybe this is giving it too much. But it's sort of.
I just think I feel misled because we got a lot of talking, but not a lot of walking.
They walk where the
We got some walking, but not much.
Some walking.
There's not much walking.
That's the point. Maybe it's like that's a commentary on it's kind of a movie about not huge plot. You know,
like walking
things,
through life, maybe just, or something.
Yeah, the way you spend your days, the way you spend your life, you're walking, you're talking. Like,
this is, I've thought about this before, like, how hard it must be, like, as a writer to come up with the title for your movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Especially for something like
this. What would be a better title? Yeah, let's punch
Big
it
Jeans.
Up. Big Jeans.
I think it's a good title for a movie. I don't know if it's the good title for this movie.
That's the thing. I think the only sliver of the way that this movie existed to me is like in a broad kind of thinking of like a late 90s, early 2000s, like romantic comedy with a nothing name of like and a shiny poster where you're like, yeah, walking and talking and blah, 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 blah.
She kind of has like
her, Meg Ryan's there, maybe.
Like her movies that like Nicole Holofcener made, like she did the movie Friends with Money is kind of a similar kind of thing. Yeah. Lovely and Amazing is the name of one of her titles.
Lovely and Amazing sounds like it means absolutely Friends with Money at least like evokes something.
I really want to see, I this is kind of a pile of shame movie for me. I really want to see Enough Said.
Yeah, like, I've never seen that either.
Isn't that one of Gandolfini's last?
Yeah, this is his last movie.
So, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh.
This is,
I haven't seen that.
Nicole Holofcener.
You got it, buddy.
She wrote and directed this, if we didn't say that.
This is her first movie, yeah. And then she, the last thing she worked on was The Last Duel, last year.
Oh, really?
What'd she do on that?
She wrote it with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She also, didn't she write, oh gosh, what was the other one?
She wrote The Last Duel.
Yeah.
She wrote, or at least co-wrote, Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Which one is
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. That was a good one. I like that movie.
So she's still out here. She's still fucking making moves.
She's still walking.
Still walking.
And talking.
Still talking.
Wow.
I was going to say this. I love women writing messy women, like literally you can put it in front of me and like
she looks like Allison Janney too. Oh, not Allison Janney.
Oh, funny.
Who's also in this movie,
who shows up. I was gonna say love to see Janney, but I was gonna say this reminded me a lot, and I would say that these two works have like really owe a lot to this in some ways of Girls and Broad City, of a just kind of like this is in many ways what they are going for. And it's not to say that they're ripping it off, because it's like other women can make projects about like being
Broad
a
City's
woman.
A lot more like cartoony,
sure, and Girls is a lot more annoying, but but it's like just talking about like your sometimes shitty friendships and talking about like, dating and fucking and all this stuff, but also getting into like I said, like, death and like parents and this stuff. And not to say that like, and then it blows those other things way out of the water, because like they're all different projects, whatever. Yeah. But it's something that I think I love to see kind of, puzzled over by different women to be like, what is friendship? What is love? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I really do love it.
I agree. There's, it's a vibe, and there's a lot of things like that I was kind of thinking about too. Like, everything right now, I mean, I don't know how it was, but it back from what
in
I've seen
times?
In the olden times of 2022, basically what everybody's wearing in this movie came back.
Exactly.
Kind of thing, which is really funny.
Okay. With the exception of there's one extremely ugly blouse that Anne Heche wears at the beginning with the like clownish stripes.
Yes, it was
so ugly.
And there's some hairstyles and That's facial true. Hairstyles that have not
Todd Field's
yeah, we didn't
terrible
talk about Todd Field, director of old
Lydia Tarr's father. Todd Field plays the imperfect but ultimately really nice fiance.
I feel like we don't. He's like the one character we don't. Yeah, he just sort of seems like nice and you know, sometimes like I couldn't really get a read on his
little high strung, maybe.
Yeah.
A little wound up easily.
You kind of want like maybe one, like there's a good, there's a scene where Catherine Keener goes over and she's not there and Haish.
Yeah.
They get to hang out. Yeah.
And I'm so weed.
That's the scene where out loud I was like, oh, he's nice. Because it's like, that's just him. I think, you know, he's maybe not like a super exciting person, but he's just kind of like quietly like enjoying himself and, yeah, and like being.
Can
in love
I talk
with
about a
fiance?
Big problem I have with him?
Yes. His facial hair.
Besides the facial hair,
it was pretty hard.
It's a big problem I have with him, and I also think it's one of the most baffling scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
I don't understand, and I want someone to talk me off a ledge.
Yeah,
like Big Jeans. What was going on with him peeing and Haish like standing behind him,
that we like
looking at him peeing
with
and then him proposing, like, wow,
that's showing that they're ready.
That was so weird that she's like, or and it's implied that she's like holding his dick.
Yeah. And he doesn't wash his hands to like give her the, they're standing over, there's no flush, they're standing over a toilet of full pee. And it's like a long.
Night of sexual passion, and they're just like, let's go to the next step. Hold your dick while you pee.
You know, in a way, the scene, as weird as it is, it does show how close and intimate they are. That, because I feel like that is definitely a stage when you're dating someone.
When you know it's over.
When it's over?
When you're too close. No, okay, so I. Okay.
It only works for me if it's a weird thing. It, like that's the only way in my mind I can justify this. Well,
in a way it's almost sweet because I think that it shows in their relationship that they're comfortable
it
around each other.
It does establish.
I'm inching over the ledge further.
No, okay, but I will. If this was never kind of come back around, I would agree, but I would say that is something that's like a major theme of like why the Anne Haish character is like so like restless and questioning things, because they are like that close and intimate and like routine and know each other so well, and she's like battling against that and with maybe good reason. Yeah. Maybe don't
with the scene
hold.
Where she's like, why do we have to have sex always?
Yeah,
exactly,
we have to have sex like
way.
This, and that's why she, you know, goes to the bad actor's play, and because she's like just wants to
some excitement
in any way, even if it's bad.
I think, but she likes playing Boggle, you know,
she loves playing Boggle. I was going to say,
which isn't a euphemism. If you haven't listened, if you haven't seen the movie, there is Boggle, the board game.
I was going to say that, but the pee thing specifically, it reminds me of like, I have never been this kind of couple, but that like,
go on.
When they like, one of them is like brushing their teeth and then the other one like comes in and like uses the toilet, you know, I could never.
It's worse than that. It's like you're brushing the toilet, someone comes in to take a dump, and then they propose to you.
And then they pull out her, and they're like, yeah.
This sounds all great to me. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Oh, this all sounds like
amazing. I love love. I love love. But
I guess what I'm saying is it shows, I mean, not saying it wasn't done a little weird. Like, that's a weird time to propose. I'm saying that.
But they clearly are in love.
But it shows that they have a level of intimacy and that they're comfortable with each other, that they can be with each other in the bathroom while, because that's like their most embarrassing like thing, kind of like, you don't want anyone else in there with you, but it shows that they're like that comfortable with each other, that they're like
most vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
now again, I'm not saying that you should propose while you were just peeing and your lover was holding your wiener while you were peeing. That is weird. Okay. Right. It's just like, I'm going to walk out of the ledge.
Ryan, I'm not walking out. I'm just like surprised. I'm like a bunch of,
I'm sorry that we're being so prudish.
Bunch of prudes. Yeah. I don't know if you guys are.
You never taken a dump with your significant other?
You never proposed to your...
You guys don't do piss stuff?
That's the only way this works for me, is if that is like a thing they're
it's
into
the
90s, in that way.
We're being
no,
modern.
I think it's a thing. I think it's almost just like, if you're not like pissing and shitting and farting and putting something together, you shouldn't even be married. Like, you shouldn't be married or something.
farting is one thing. Pissing and shitting is another.
Yeah, there's a hard line there.
Well, you're lost.
I'm sorry.
You know, honestly, I'm surprised. Maybe I'm with Ryan because, like, I feel like if I had that strong a reaction to it, I would have remembered this scene. Because I have seen this movie
I don't have a reaction to it either. I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's
nice. I thought it was funny more than anything. I didn't realize Michael was on the ledge. Like Big Jeans.
Poor Big Jeans.
Oh my God. That was genuinely heartbreaking. Well,
I guess the part that's weird with me is like, I still don't think I know, and this is my prudeness showing, I still don't know what a diaphragm is. Like, I still, after years of movies like this, showing it,
and doing, I'm like, I don't know what a wiener looks like. Your diaphragm. It's like a little piece of plastic that you put in the vagina to, like, basically block. It's just a shield
that's what I figured, but I just, like, I've never seen it on in real life. I don't know what the hell, like, it
I mean, no one uses no one uses one anymore.
Birth control.
Yeah.
First time I heard about what a diaphragm was in National Lampoon's Vacation, when they lose a bunch of their stuff from the car. And he's don't worry, honey. There's plenty of stuff. There's nothing in there we can't get back. Except your diaphragm. And as a kid, I had no idea what that meant.
It is such like a 80s, 90s.
It sounds like something that would be like from the 1800s.
Literally early 20th century, like this or like do a bleach douche after you fuck. Like, those are the options.
It's just such a funny thing. It's just like, doesn't, by the time I guess of age, never got to the got to experience a diaphragm.
What's up? We have birth control pills and IUDs.
I wonder if there's like artisanal condoms. Like craftsperson, like the sure. Amish, or you know, I got like a really, it's like $200, but it's like really nice. Like,
I'm sure Kevin Corrigan knows the guy.
Kevin Corrigan. We didn't mention Kevin Corrigan.
We gotta talk about him because I mean, I think the movie does a pretty good job of ultimately being like, it's mean to call him the ugly guy, even if it's kind of funny, because, like, he's not ugly.
No. Yeah, he's
well, I don't know.
Guy. He's styled, there are a few unfortunately.
There are a few shirts he wears, right? Like, honestly, like, there's a point ugly. When, like,
he's got a cool
when
My
he
Bloody
wears
Valentine
a regular
shirt.
T-shirt, it's like as if he had, like, a makeover. You know what I mean? Wow.
It is, it's, I think,
he's
another...
He's greasy. He's more greasy than
he
ugly.
He is greasy.
He is greasy. Yeah. He needs
to be
hosed
down. He works at the video store, which, like, is... pretty hot.
Yeah, also, I could totally
like with Kath, like it's almost like she's saying that as far as like that weird guy at the video store, that you're not necessarily, I only know she thinks she's saying ugly is like mean kind of thing in a weird
no,
way.
But it's just in a kind of like thoughtless thing that you never expect the person to like hear about, and then it's like obviously they feel shitty.
I think too there's like I think what's the Catherine Keener's character name? Amelia.
Amelia.
I think Amelia is like, I think there's something with her where she's like not trying to be in a super intense relationship in a way to like, cause she's like focusing so much on the friendship with Laura, and maybe, you know, cause Laura's like becoming, detached from her and going to Frank. And I think maybe like Amelia's like keeping an arm's length with like a guy to kind of be like, no, Laura, like, I, like, it's just like, whatever.
Just
like
it's some
not,
ugly guy.
It's not threatening our friendship. Guess, like, it's just like, some
I guess
dude.
Maybe, you know, we're half an hour into the discussion. Maybe we should reveal the plot of the movie for anyone.
Could, But I mean, again, it's not super plotty. It's just like,
well, it's about like, two friends and drifting apart and coming back together. And
yeah. And there's
how friendships sometimes need work.
Sort of, one of them is like, you know, has a, relationship that's about to get married or they get engaged in the beginning, and Catherine Keener sort of bouncing between, is dating the video, goes on a couple dates with the video store guy, and
which
then there's also
seeing her ex.
Yeah, her ex is Ree Shriver, who's loves porn and a hunk.
He loves porn too.
It's the 90s.
Well, I already seen this one.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine.
It's the 90s when you're addicted to videotape pornography and long distance landline phone sex.
Oh man.
That's the one of the ways and kind of also when we're talking about with ugly guy of that this feels so modern, because it's like these same things are happening, but with like apps and texting and, mm-hmm. and whatever of your like, you know, we call him like the ugly guy in my group chat because I sent them like a weird picture of him, or like, oh yeah, I've been like texting this girl who lives in like a different country or whatever, but I don't want like a serious thing. Oh God, she's here.
No, like, it's, like even, it's still even though happens. We have, even though we have like a damn, you know, the whole kind of inciting incident is the voicemail, you know, message.
Yeah,
like that could still happen in a text. Like in a new movie, yeah, you could have
missed text. That's happened to me.
Like her phone is in on like the coffee table after they fucked or whatever, and then like
what,
text
what,
like
you should the describe guy? What scene okay. are you talking about, Ryan?
Sorry. So kind of, you know, the Leo Store guy. What's the actor's name? He's been on like a million TV shows and things.
Kevin Corrigan, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. He
gets
like a big
an
movie?
And in the credits.
Yeah, he's like probably the biggest actor in this movie, probably at the time.
Well, he was
Allison Janney.
Well, I'm thinking like he was he had a lot of like smaller roles in like Judd Apatow movies. Like he's the guy that like gets really pissed off and super bad when he's like, hey, were you like messing with my girl or something like that? He always strikes me as a very intense guy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Those eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, like he is running this video store, which I have remind me. There's a something with the video store I want to make sure I do at the end of this whole thing.
Okay. You gotta check for Jaws.
This is, you
and
can
stuff?
Edit, but I'm holding my keyboard so Todd doesn't hit any buttons while I'm.
Do you
Todd
have Field all of the
Todd
Kubrick
Field
films?
Is here on the desk.
He's walking all over the.
So it looks like that right from the beginning that he's like swooning over Catherine Keener and finally gets mm-hmm. her to agree to go on a date or ask him to go to the movies type of thing. To like these crazy horror movies that he loves. And eventually they go out to like a little, what is it? Like a convention or like a little makeup convention or something?
Yeah, some kind of like,
it's probably supposed to be like a big
horror prop
thing.
Convention. Yeah. It reminded me of like Fangoria.
Sure. Yeah. Or like a local version of that, which looked cool as hell.
It did look fun.
I mean,
but then
there were some creeps there.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, we're all a bunch of weirdos who work
I know.
In a video store.
That would,
so.
That would work on any of us. So,
but Catherine brings him home. That's her place that they're at, you know?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
And she starts to like him later and what happens is, Anne Heche leaves a voicemail when she's in the bathroom saying like, oh, I figured you'd not be out with an ugly guy still. And he overhears the voicemail and doesn't talk to her after.
And it hurts his feelings,
this.
Obviously.
And
it's not even like that she calls and says, oh, are you still out with the ugly guy? It's like she calls and the voicemail is like, oh, hey, are you still out with that guy you're always saying is ugly?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, what's his name?
What's
you just call him the ugly guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And that hurts his feelings.
And it's
so
heartbreaking.
And she says, like, she's like, oh, she has a point where she says, like, oh, he had such great skin and all this stuff. Like, she liked him and stuff like that.
He kissed really well.
He kissed really well. And it's like,
I also. Oh, go ahead. I also got the sense that she really, I think she just kind of, like, when he's talking about, like, how he enjoys, like the makeup stuff and the masks and all that. Like I got the sense that she really enjoyed how like unembarrassed of what he liked, mm-hmm. but he was, you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like
it's
he wasn't
fun
hiding
to,
it or anything.
It's fun to like, especially when you're first dating someone to like see the stuff they're into and like,
or like a world you're not familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. That's always like a fun part of dating is especially if someone's like really passionate about something, it could be anything. And it's kind of like fun to,
yeah, like at just, first you might have been like, whoa, that's weird. But then you're like, oh, it's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought it was an interesting point that his screenplay was like about the life of Colette, the like lesbian poet. I'm like, that's really interesting. Like, wait, go on more about that. What's
oh, yeah. There's an early scene where they first hang out and then he's like, oh, I got some writing I got to do. So you better leave kind of thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like when that happens, like it is kind of feel like he is less into her than she's into him.
Well,
like he's willing to like be like, I'm ready to like call it, like you can leave, like we don't have to late. Like
I was gonna say, I think that's, well, it's part of kind of like the back and forth there of maybe I think she is like kind of surprised or interested like about his how passionate he is about his things, but I think kind of more than that she just wants someone to like her, mm-hmm. and the fact
he's
that
not, he doesn't seem as emotionally like in a needy place as she
is. And so, and that's why when he pulls away, either to just like send her home after that first date or to just like stop talking to her, she becomes like obsessed. And she's just like, why hasn't he called me? Like, that's fucked up. Because like, she wants it to be anything rather than like being rejected.
Yeah, he's like an interesting character because he is like he's more like self-confident than I feel like you might think
first,
a character like this to be like, because when he hears that, he's not like, it doesn't, I don't get the sense he's like in some like depressive tailspin. He's more just like, damn.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this, you know.
Like, yeah, and sucks. He just like doesn't talk to her again. And when they like finally have the confrontation, he's just like, yeah, like you called me ugly. I know you called me the ugly guy, and like I don't need friends like that.
So like, are we good? Are we done?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He says, can I go now?
and then he like gets back together with his like longtime ex, which sounds like that was like a not a bad thing. They got back together kind of thing.
Well, yeah. So does Catherine Keener, basically. Yeah.
Well, kinda. There's a thing that kind of reveals too.
It's like poetry.
Is Liev Schreiber says like why they split up, and he says like, you made me feel like too important, which is really interesting kind of response too. I don't know. It's almost like scared how important you kind of like put this us in or something. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think you kind of is. Yeah, that's like a interesting character thing and like pretty three dimensional. And I think you see that with like how she treats the video store guy, that maybe she's just like puts too much weight on these things.
And I think I agree. And I think that also applies to their friendship with Anne Heche, where she needs like each kind of relationship to be like at 100%,
and
other people feel weird about that.
And Big Jeans. She won't let Big Jeans go.
I gotta say, like, if any one of you like consistently called and left like long, not even really voicemails, just talking to me through voicemail,
that I would either rip
the cord out of the wall or be like, dude, you gotta stop that.
What's up, Dave?
It's
just thinking.
Very intense kind of way to approach relationships. And that's kind of what the movie's about, of like, it can burn people out. It can burn relationships out. And you have to like, you know, work at
boundaries.
Them and have boundaries. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult when we all live in the same store.
Yeah. That's why Anne Heche moved out. Like,
yeah, she left.
She needed space.
I have a couple of things here. So I have, one thing, like I just kind of wrote like just a few little keywords here. So one thing I have is, this is right before probably, and maybe one of you can remind me what the wave of the coffee shop is at this point, because this is right before the whatever wave that Starbucks kind of brought in.
Oh, this would be second. This would be second wave.
Second wave coffee. Okay.
Yeah, first wave.
Answers immediately.
First wave would be like, I could be wrong about this, but without checking notes, I think first wave is like, you're going to a diner. There's coffee. Like, just coffee. Second wave is like, it's the 90s and you're in a coffee shop in New York, you know, and you're getting like some coffee or whatever. And then third wave is like, we've sourced these beans from Ethiopia,
but
they're
but I'm talking about like, this is still like someone's waiting on you coffee shop type
of
thing.
Well, they call it the restaurant. I like, not even like a coffee shop.
Yeah.
So it's, I think it's kind of not pointedly, but like, it's not really a coffee shop.
Yeah. Cause she always gets, not hash browns,
home fries.
Yeah. No, home fries today.
I guess this is like a diner then. Yeah. I just was like thinking about that. I was just like, this is before maybe Starbucks quite took over and everything was more of like a coffee shop.
Or maybe,
it was happening though. It's like Starbucks was definitely a big thing in the 90s.
It's maybe not entirely this, and maybe it's also just kind of like a vibe, but, I think it kind of works to think that like they're just, you know, old enough to be like, I don't really want to hang out with like, you know, people at a coffee shop. I guess maybe friends like disproves that, but they're like, it seems like they're like, I don't know, we've got our diner, like our established spot.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. And that guy like reminded me of people I've run into. There's a coffee shop worker or that's hits on Anne Heche a bunch and gets him to go to his
I thought you were gonna say hits on you a bunch.
I was gonna say, are you about to vague me, Ryan?
No, that was funny. And then what else we got? I got that we kind of had an asshole vet a little bit. She's kind of an
quite cold.
Quite cold. That's what maybe a word for it. Cold.
I mean, it might work. It might not. It's expensive. Just kill the cat.
It is expensive. Chemotherapy for cats. Yeah. Big Jeans, the cat who is 14 years old and so fucking fat, has multiple forms of cancer also.
maybe it was just the way the cat was shot or the angles, but I couldn't really get a sense of how big the cat was. It just looked kind of like a regular cat to me.
It looked on the bigger side.
On the bigger side, but not like... Not like from I've what this bigger. Lady's saying, like, your cat is fat, ma'am.
It's a fat cat.
It's like, cool it.
But there's that shot, though, where Kevin Corrigan, or is it Kevin? Yeah. He's like, your cat doesn't look so good. And that shot they had was just like, that cat looks like it's dead. Like,
I know, that cat looks fucked up.
Poor guy.
That was so funny.
He reacted in such a weird way. He goes back to her place and he's just like,
Before they have sex.
Yeah, like, do you have a cat? Yeah, I'm really allergic. Oh, your cat doesn't look like he's very good.
and then she's like, oh yeah, he has cancer. She had her first round of chemotherapy today.
And he starts like chuckling.
Well, I think he's like holding back, like his freaking his nose all stuffed up too.
I know he's like having an allergic reaction. I could see it being like a nervous giggle, but again, here I am watching it like actually laughing. Yeah, she had her first round of chemotherapy today. So,
well, as soon as that moment where she's like, "Yeah, well, he's dying. It's nothing. He's just dying." And Catherine Keener has like the most serious face I have ever seen. Like when she delivers that line, "Oh no, she's dying." Like I would jump out the window. I'm like, "I'm sorry."
Yeah, he plays it really weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird guy performance, but that's why it works so well, and that's why she has sex with him.
You get some strange, you know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. Me and my girlfriend, we're going to go see midget bowling.
Oh yeah.
She's a big fan.
Dwarf bowling.
No, it's great. They like it.
Oh, Jesus.
The 90s. That was a weird
The 90s.
We're gonna
go in blackface. It's my favorite outfit.
I also thought it was interesting that like maybe this is just like a thing of mom pa type video stores. Like you're not under some corporation, but I love that like he's just wearing whatever. He's wearing like a tank top. He's wearing like My Bloody Valentine t-shirt. Like I appreciated that there was
the tank
no dress
top
code.
Was a lot.
Yeah,
you can't do
it
that.
Was
at,
a lot.
You can't do that at Blockbuster.
No, they don't.
I
let
mean,
you
that's
fuck
pretty
much
basically at the end of Hollywood Video's run. It was basically wherever you want. It was at that point where yeah, it was just like just a black a shirt. Jesus, stage. It was like yeah. When I got to the we're dead stage.
We don't have money enough to print up shirts for all of our employees.
No.
Because it started off
with
like
who cares?
Yeah, it was like button up purple shirts all the way to just like black shirt. Just it default. I also have one of my favorite lines is when Anne Heche is trying on the wedding dresses and she's just like the button on the scene is just like I'm farting.
And then
Catherine Keener's like, good. Oh, I thought so.
If we're talking about 90s fashion, I'm glad you brought up buttons, Ryan, because there is a blue button-up shirt that Liev Schreiber wears in this movie. I can't tell if his shirt has like six pockets or if those are just like studded buttons or what the hell. Do you remember this shirt he wears?
I don't remember this shirt.
But it sounds very 90s.
Well, and they were on the back, too. Like I couldn't tell if there were buttons or like little studs. It was bizarre.
I don't sounds remember great. That one. He has those pants. He has that pants that she bought him that scared him away. The leather pants or those black leather pants.
Okay. that was a look.
Speaking of Lee Shriver. All right. There's a scene towards the end when they go to the lake house, Catherine Keener's parents' lake house. Mm-hmm. And she starts getting,
which is
and
where
they have the whole,
Anne Heche is going to get married.
This is after the fallout where like, you know, Todd Field, Lydia Tarr's father, leaves. You know, he's like, I've had enough of this. You know, I'm going to stay with a friend. And Catherine Keener starts getting obscene phone calls. The calls were coming from Lee Shriver, right?
That's what I assume. Oh,
but they kept coming.
Said.
They kept coming after he got there, though.
But what I mean, like, I got the sense that he was calling her because it did sound like him on the phone. And then he probably told a friend, like, hey, could you call, like, in an hour or something? I'll pick up. And
I didn't. Okay, I guess I don't know.
I kind of forgot. Yeah, that's a weird thing. Yeah,
maybe this was just like a thing in the 90s.
I hope not.
Maybe this is a thing where people were like perverts
that,
were
that
like
was
cold
a thing.
Calling
that's
jerking
a thing.
Off.
That's a thing.
God.
I remember hearing about that for sure. It's like being a thing.
I guess this just happened.
Like, oh, I got
then?
An obscene phone call.
I mean, there was
that's
like,
insane.
You know.
Yeah, you like just like calls. Are in the phone book like pulling up a number and just calling up to be like, I'm gonna fuck you.
Did you guys ever make any obscene? Well, maybe not obscene phone calls, but I should say prank phone
calls.
Yeah,
I think so. But the thing is, it's set up that he's always his phone bill, and the whole thing is this woman that he's been talking to in California having phone sex with. So it feels like it's
connected. It does set up that could be him. Yeah, you're right.
Maybe it's supposed to be unclear of.
I don't know. That's a weird thing. I didn't really think about it.
Well, I kind of took it as like he was hoping she would call him to come out to like, hey, you know, there's a guy calling me, you know. I took it as like he was hoping she'd call him and that he'd have an excuse to go over there.
Hmm.
That's it feels like a more sinister character.
Yeah. And, you know, in retrospect, because he doesn't come off as sinister.
No,
because
well,
in the
scenes right after that where they're just like hanging out are like genuinely just like goofy and fun. And
you know what? I think you're right. I think it was just an obscene phone call, because I feel like that would be something that would pay off if it was him making the calls. Like there would be a revelation like, hey, it was you who was making, you know what I mean? I feel like that would have paid off.
Well, and it's also just like, I don't know, he's thematically connected to like dirty phone calls and porn and like,
yeah,
you know, sexual tension. And
that's true. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know. It's funny. I never really connected the dots either with that, but I guess it never really bothered me either. Just like, it kind of feels like another one of those like vignette things. Like we were out in the lake house
and I got a bunch of dirty phone calls.
It was scary and shit. Like it was freaking me out. Like, I don't know. Sounds like something like
that's so like horrifying. That. Oh my God.
But I remember doing like, I mean,
I remember doing obscene phone calls.
We would call like people we kind of knew. I felt like
prank phone calls, Mike. There's a difference.
I don't even remember what we would say though or do. I don't know. I was never really, I didn't
like, I guess the mean side of it would to be like, oh, I'm that person that you like, or like, I'm their friend. And he said like, he likes you.
Oh yeah. Something like that.
I don't know. It's I guess what would the equivalent be today of just like getting like a dick pic, like an unsolicited dick pic. I mean, that you can just delete, though. The talking is, I don't know, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. One thing that's kind of a funny, weird, sort of surrealist thing is the mole on Todd Field's mole.
Okay, so Mike, we've already established that holding your spouse's or your lover's penis while they're peeing is weird for you. So what do you feel about giving...
Well, you say that like I'm crazy.
Thing where...
Well, where do you stand on the bowl?
Well, I
the
don't
removal of the bowl and giving it to a significant other
it's
in a little.
Oh,
that's
like
definitely unhinged
behavior.
Like, serial killer
being funny too. I don't know.
That's the thing where I can see him.
I would like throw up if someone did that.
I mean, same. I loved sidebar the lady sitting like next to them in the restaurant who's watching us, and then she like turns and like mouths to her partner like
a mole.
She's like, oh my God, what the fuck is? But anyway, I can see him being like, this. She's gonna think this is so funny because they're the kind of couple.
They're
like
gross. They're a gross couple.
Digs, like.
Yeah.
And I think it's very reasonable that her reaction was like, true. Why would you do this?
I feel like most couples would. If this were probably most couples, he would probably have just said like, hey, so I got the mole removed. That would be it. You know, he wouldn't be
like, this is going to be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, show the part of his chest where it's not there anymore.
Yes,
maybe
he would, like, pull his shirt down.
He definitely whiffed it, but like, I can kind of see where he's coming.
It's like both
from.
Sides.
The doctor
reasonable.
Even like
was he like? Can
I'm surprised
keep
the doctor let him keep the mole.
I mean, it's probably just a.
It's
skin
the
tag.
Movies, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like movies. I get what you're saying, Jackie. I get the gesture, but it's just like.
I mean, it's still bad.
Everything yeah, wrong with bad. Walking and talking. Doctors don't let
doctors
you kids.
Doctors won't let you keep the mole. Trust me, I've asked.
Trust me, I've tried.
It's pretty. But it has that whole thing where she's like laying on him and then she like looks at it and it's like huge. Remember that?
Yeah. It's like a David Lynch thing. Moment.
Oh, God.
That was funny. That's pretty cool. That's a funny, like weird little thing. Cause it's like, that's just something that was grossing her out, you know?
Yeah. I like that bit. It was gross, but it was like,
it's your brain blowing up the problem of,
I like those things in movies. Yeah. Where you're definitely seeing it's like her subjective feeling about the thing, not what it actually looks like.
Yeah.
And it's not about the mole. It's about all the other stuff.
Can we talk about another kind of a thing that pops up in this movie? Just therapy. And just like
It's the 90s.
It's the 90s.
Like, I'm sorry, but I've already booked your next session.
he says it weird. I think, doesn't he say, like, I've already filled your slot.
Yeah. She repeats it, I think, too. She's like, filled your slot. Like, she's like, Jesus.
That's a theme throughout, too, of, like, weird sexual, like, psychosexual relationships between patients. Yeah, because she's
fantasizing
therapist.
About her patient. Because she's like training to be a therapist, the Anne Heche's character. And yeah, you see her like fantasizing about one of her patients.
Yeah, what's the one of the guys that's like on like Goodfellas is one of her patients?
Oh, it's Sopranos, right?
He's big pussy.
So I see little devils. I don't see little devils. Yeah, I just had to make up some shit because I thought you had to say that in therapy.
Little devils.
Yeah. What does the devil look like? You know, like in the cartoons. Red and evil.
That's pretty funny.
That was a good, I really liked
that's
him
a good
in this.
Bit. I do kind of, I mean, that's an interesting like thread throughout of like the weird intimacy that like, you know, gets construed or like misapplied or just like is kind of maybe is there, maybe is not, is weird regardless.
People are horny, you know.
But people are horny at the end of it.
Maybe that's what it should be called. Horny
people
and
that would
be walking and horny. Or that doesn't really walk.
Horny and talking.
Horny and talking. they sure are.
You said I need a little bit. Oh yeah, the one other little bit I had, other than something I want to bring up at the end. We talked already about Big Jeans, RIP, you know, commits suicide, basically.
He totally commits suicide. She totally commits suicide.
Doesn't want to live in this
world. The poor cat, but her neighbors, Catherine Keener's neighbors, like, sit with her in her apartment.
Yeah, that's
nice. It's Allison Janney. And then there's also the librarian from Ghostbusters.
I forgot about. I was thinking that's Ray Finkel's mom.
Who's Ray Finkel?
He was the football player in Ace Ventura: Pet Detective.
Oh my god! He's Ray Finkel's mom. You know, the football player in Ace Ventura: Pet Detective.
Well, I think the reason was like this would have only been a couple years after Ace Ventura. I didn't make the connection to Ghostbusters because that was like 12 years earlier, and she had. You know what I mean? She looked exactly like she did in Ace Ventura. Like in my mind, I'm just imagining her, like the next line she talks to Catherine Keener would probably have been like, laces out, you know, something like that.
I'm looking at the name. She was in much stuff. She was in a couple things. She was in Big Night the same year that, what is that? Stanley Tucci, big movie. Yeah, see, Allison Janney's one of her. And it reminded me, I don't know if you guys have seen Margaret, but there's a whole scene in Margaret where they're in New York Street and Allison Janney is there when, you know, a big accident happens sort of thing.
She's who you want around. Like, she seemed like a genuine comfort.
Okay, let's see. Any other little bits and pieces you guys have? I think this just feels like a movie that was kind of like, I kind of wish I discovered earlier, but I'm glad I kind of finally got to see it. And I really, I liked it a lot for what it is.
I really liked it. I think it would it's the kind of movie that I could see being like, torn apart and like really dumb, bad faith, you know, critiques, that like, you know, would come down to a lot of just like misogyny and et cetera. I could also see it being like, by like the opposite kind of crowd of some just like, you know, dumb film TikTok minds being like, Catherine Keener's character is like so toxic and problematic and like she exhibits these mental illness. It's just like, oh my God, like live a life.
Apocalyptalk is the worst place for film.
Apocalyptalk, oh, you're wow. right. It's you're the, right, but it wow. has such a great name. Is the thing
apocalyptic talk?
It's just
that's really good. That's really
it's really
good.
Like you think you know you hit not interested on every single one every film thing
they
you
said,
come across on there.
Sorry, the did you want the most brain dead takes imaginable? Sorry, did you? Did you?
It's well,
and
worst.
Also, that's kind of the point, is that she exactly. realizes at the end of the movie, like, oh, I'm being shitty and I'm being unfair and being a bad
there's
friend.
There's bigger things I should be.
Yeah. And yeah. also, like, human beings are, like, not, you know, are very imperfect. You realize that, right? So it's okay to well, tell a story about an imperfect human being. Well,
I never ever get a sense that Catherine Keener, or really any of the characters for that matter, are in deliberately trying to be toxic. Like, they're just people dealing with their life and stuff.
And watching what you say, even, like, just, like, being... That's a big point in this movie, really. Yeah, it's just like
huge
your
point.
Words could hurt people, even if it's not meant to hurt anybody, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. If Catherine Keener was truly a toxic person, she wouldn't have gone back and to see Kevin Corrigan and be like, look, I'm sorry. Like you wouldn't have had a scene where she called her friend like, I can't believe you left that message. Why would you leave a message like that? You know what I mean? Yeah. Clearly, she's like, oh, my God, that
but
that
also, like, even if she was a you know, shittier, maybe crueler person, like, if it's an interesting story, like, tell a story. It's okay. I do genuinely like the characters and kind of their journeys. I also like that they're, you know, annoying and shitty and, like, selfish and
they're real.
They're real, yeah.
They felt like
and
real characters.
Most importantly, they're hot.
They're all really hot.
Can I get high five? No.
But not the type of hot that the poster sells. I just want to point that out. That poster is selling a different
movie.
They
don't look, you're right. He looks like Sean from Boy Meets World.
Trying to sell, like friends.
Yeah.
And this is Walking and Talking.
Mike or Dave, do you have any other kind of last words about the movie?
God, Ryan, why are you so controlling? That moment came out of nowhere for me because, like, they don't really they you only see little bits, but
he can't even pee by himself.
Well, again, like, I think I like Ryan said, I think, like, if this movie's more rewarding, you pick up on things more in the second viewing because, like, I think that makes sense because, like, you start, you know, they're about to get married. They're about to, like, there's a difference between being with someone, living together, and then being married. You know what I mean? So I kind of took that, like, what probably I perceived the first time as something out of nowhere, like, what the hell? Like, that's a crazy reaction. But no, it's like those things bubble up and there's the thing off in the distance of getting married where it's just, it's a lot of pressure. And suddenly, like, those little things that ordinarily probably wouldn't matter, suddenly you're like, oh, what the hell?
Sure. Or something that always maybe kind of bugged you or something that has never really bugged you, but now is doing
now
this.
It feels like it's like the rest of my life.
Yeah. The mole is poking through, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, about you, Mike, anything other that, yeah?
I think I said it in passing, but I like that the video store had the My Bloody Valentine shirt.
Well, that's a great transition I have.
What a great seg.
Great segue. I wanted to do this for the Federation, is we're going to rate out of 10 videotapes, or whatever you want to choose, the video store in the movie.
Ooh, I like that.
So this is, the video store name is called Palmer Video. So I think you're like, we can rate stuff like the name, think about that, where its location is, if it's walkable, if they got porn.
Well, it seemed very walkable.
It seemed, the high walkable score. We've already talked about the vibe seems nice. I noticed I was looking at what tapes they had, and there was...
They have Jaws and Kubrick, Jaws. We know.
They have Jaws. They have all of the Kubrick movies, I believe that she has. You can see in some of the scenes, the tapes, there's tons of B-horror movies.
Yeah,
you can also see, like, there's like 20 copies of Dumb and Dumber that I saw.
That's so funny. So I found a site on the Chad internet about what videotape. It's called Films in Films, the project website. It looks like it's 100 years old, this website, but it has what movies are in this movie. So yeah, they said there's plenty of Peter and Bob Farley's Dumb and Dumber. We got Werewolves versus Vampire Woman. Day of the Nightmare, The Love Cult. All these are some horror movies I don't recognize, but
it looked like when the first scene when she's looking at stuff, I can't remember. Do you remember the name of the movie? He says, like, he's like, oh, flesh-eating monster things or something.
I don't think they say a name, but she says, like, oh, flesh-eating, you know, I think she was just describing, like,
oh, something. It wasn't a title. Okay, because, like, you see the shelf, like, in the foreground, and I couldn't tell what they were, but they look like trauma movies to me. And, like, yeah. I'm not exactly a huge fan of trauma movies.
Would you use it to flirt with a lady to be like, oh, no. Check this out.
Hey, have you seen the Toxic Avenger 4, Citizen Toxie?
No, I'm good. No, I'm good.
I gotta go. But, like, I if we're grading the video store in this movie,
they have porn too. Yeah, remember that?
They have porn. More if they have a trauma section, they probably have like a way more diverse selection of films than say Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. They do.
One downside is it seems pretty small. So I'm actually thinking small. Maybe the selection.
Yeah, but it looked packed in though. It looked like they had a lot of tapes.
I'm guessing it's not like they have tons of like variety. I think it might specialize in the B horror movie stuff. That might be like kind of.
They have Jaws.
They have Jaws.
What place is not going to have Jaws?
They got Dumb and Dumber. They got 200 copies.
Look, we've got what the NAS is like. Yeah, and we've got B horror.
I'm gonna give this. Seven tapes.
Video store.
Yeah, the video store.
I'd go up to 8 because I think Ugly Guy and his coworker, who clearly knew like all just like the details about the stuff.
You're right. I'm gonna bump to 8. They seem like you could ask them for like what should I watch, and they'd.
Or you'd be like, hey, you guys ever get like this kind of, you know, like off the grid stuff? They could probably be like, oh, yeah, I'll find that.
Like, I bet they would like that. We can order that for you. Yeah. I bet they'd special order whatever you want.
I'm going to say 8.
Yeah, I'll say 8.
I'm going to agree. I'm giving it an 8.
I think I'm with you. I think it's unanimous 8. I think it looks like a great spot.
It's really like a lot of places. I think for me, it's really being uplifted by the employees. Yeah.
Yes.
And again, to walkability, it seemed like that's like her neighborhood spot. Like,
yeah,
that's
and it
why
was popping.
She was so bummed because she was
that's
like,
why
I can't
she couldn't
because
she couldn't rent
tapes
for 2 weeks. That's all she likes to do anyway.
I can't. We never really get a sense of the proximity of the video store in her apartment, but like,
if there was more like walking in this talking, then we probably would, you know, but we don't.
Well, I would love to have like a local video store like that right next to my apartment in New York. That would be amazing.
It looks great. And I think it looks like you're talking about how big it looks. I think inside it seems a little tight, but there's a scene where she's walking. There's a pizza place next door and they like walk past it kind of thing. It looks bigger. I think it's actually like a big part of that little.
Maybe there's just like one room
next to each other.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
I think 8 out of 10.
Yeah. Palmer Video and Walking and Talking. It's Palmer 8 out of 10.
Video. So Palmer Video right now, it's the one to beat.
Well, yeah.
I think it looks great. It looks awesome. And way better than a Blockbuster Hollywood for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. For sure.
Agreed.
When we get to Watermelon Woman, that place, speaking of employees, can get bumped down.
Oh, sweet. I'm excited. That's the one sucks. Of this I haven't seen. And I think that's, I guess we'll just say that. We're going to go chronologically in this series. So that's the next one up.
What is it?
Watermelon
the,
Woman.
The Watermelon Woman.
I've never heard of this.
Is this a superhero film?
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
It's a Marvel film.
Watermelon Woman.
I think it's streaming now on the Chad Tyrion channel. So.
Oh, well, yeah.
Before you take us out, Ryan, is it safe to say all of us recommend Walking and Talking?
I would if you're into this type of indie kind of like, you know, light comedy. I think like a Francis Ha. I think it's a good
Noah Baumbach, Greta
Gerwig, Noah Baumbach kind of thing, that kind of vibe. I think especially for
or Kevin Smith. I think if you liked, you know, Kevin Smith back in the day.
Are you in your 30s? Chasing you might like it.
Are you at a certain point of your life? You'll probably have feelings about it, you know?
Or you want to see a movie about women friends?
Do you want to see a movie
written and directed by a woman, you know?
Yeah.
So
who, once again, I'll be the one to objectify, but like also featuring some fucking hotties. You want to see a movie with some hotties?
Edited by a woman too.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's the thing. There's not a lot of that, and especially you know, you'd think that you knew a lot about movies, especially at this time, these indie kind of 90s things. And this one was off my radar until recently. So It was a really cool one.
You should also
probably thank at the video store for recommending this movie to us, basically.
It did. Yeah. I think there was a couple things I written down. I was like, I'm gonna watch that. Like, I think it was the My Bloody Valentine shirt I saw. I was like, what the hell is that?
Seems like a cool guy. It's a cool video store.
Yeah. So there's some great actors that went on to have everyone in this movie had a pretty good career and still is going, you know, every actor in it. This is one of their first big roles, you know, and it's great. So,
And eventually one day Todd Field would give birth to Lydia Tarr.
Yeah. Which
who actually herself is a very toxic person, but maybe we'll talk about Tarr in the future.
We'll talk about Tarr another day.
Another great movie about a real messy person. You could say.
Well, this was fun. I'm glad you guys got a kick out of it. And we'll see you, I guess, next time in this in the ring.
Ring.
So cold in here.
Rest in peace.
Be sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Apocalypse Talk.
Yeah, Apocalypse Talk. We're throwing up talks on the Apocalypse Talk with our hot film takes about. Mm-hmm.
Is it Apocalypse Talk or is it Apocalyptic Talk?
I don't know.
I like Apocalypse Talk.
Something about that. Yeah, like apocalyptic. Like it kind of like put on there. Talk. I don't know.
It feels right.
Apocalyptic talk, though, is pretty good.
No, it's too much of a mouthful. The kids would never go for it.
Drop the elliptic or something.
It's cleaner.
It's cleaner, yeah.
What about Apoco talk?
No.
That sounds like a talk show.
Come on.
You know? With mutants, like a panel of like four mutants.
Like, be serious here.
Yeah. Why are you so controlling, Mike?
All right, I'm going to go pee.
I'll go help you.
All right, see ya.
This is a group activity. Bye.
We'll see you next time in the ring in Stone Cold Ryan's Winter Film Fest Federation with the Watermelon Woman. Same time, same channel. That's what they say at on wrestling events, didn't they? I don't know.